Thank you so much. As an old pastor through the years, it's been a sad occasion, many occasions, where I had to have a funeral service for a child, even babies, and that song is so precious. It would be something, and one day it will happen, to be there when the Lord breaks that ground. And you have families that hurt so much, see that child again. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, we're going to chapter 10. Going to chapter 10 in the book of Acts. Again, we appreciate you being here for our anniversary Sunday. Good to see some folks that come out of town and others from maybe a little further off. And appreciate you being with us today. And I want you to know, though, all we do, the awards we give away, the party for the kids, everything, all of it still is overshadowed by we want to get the truth out about the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone that needs to hear about him. Amen. And that's what we'll do here in the next few minutes in Acts chapter 10. I want you to start reading with me in verse 1. It's a long story, but it's such a powerful story. I'll have to read a number of verses. I hope you'll open your Bible and look. Acts chapter 10, we'll start in verse 1. It said there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call on one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at four corners, at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. There came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. I may read a little bit more later, but I want to stop right there. And I want to talk to you on a subject I've picked out of the text here. I want to call it a man remembered by God. Now, verse 1 says there was a certain man. So we know we're talking about Cornelius. We know he's a particular man. I want to say this. We've heard in the election about the forgotten man, and I think there's a lot of truth to that. But with God, no man's forgotten. And here we see a certain man. Now, in our day, I hate to say it, but real men have seemed to come in high disdain anymore. America has lost its manly attitude that it used to have. And we're hurting for that, folks. We're really hurting for it bad. We're seeing men, as it were, disdained, and we see it. It's been going on a long time. Many of you, we all sat and we laughed at such things as shows like Bewitched, where the husband was an idiot and a wimp, right? Portrayed that way. In the early days, we had a few programs like Father Knows Best, and the man was elevated. But we've gone for a long time with our young people growing up. It's no wonder they got their genders mixed up. They don't know who the head of the house is supposed to be. They don't have a manly example to follow. And as we look around today, we see our country hurting. And what we need to do is get back our masculinity and get back where God put us, in the chain of command that God put us in to start with. One of the sad things here recently, as the last president finally flew away, he pardoned Private Manning. And the news media jumped right on it, showed his picture with a blonde wig on, and he has petitioned the Army now for his taxpayers to pay for him to have a sex change. That's what we've moved to. It's really, really too bad. And many of you remember Madeleine Albright. She was the Secretary of State there before John Kerry, remember? I always called her Madam Halfbright. But anyway, you see where she said that she was going to register as a Muslim? And if you watch your news last night, we got Americans petitioning the airports because two or three Muslims were stopped from coming into the country. What we need to do is get some men that would rear back on their hind legs and be men again. And I'm hoping the new president's going to do that, and I'm hoping he can live, and I'm hoping there'll be enough men, and it's going to take the men to back it. If we don't get to having some men stand up in America again, we're going right over the cliff. I hate to say that, but now right here, I find a man that was a little different. He wasn't ashamed to say he believed in God. Look what it says about Cornelius here. It says he was a devout man. See, we can learn some things right here from this story. Things we can see. He was an upstanding man because he was up in the ranks of the Roman army. And he was probably prestige. He probably had wealth. And yet he was a good man doing right things to the best he knew and all that he knew to do. And he was devout, it said. And it said he feared God. And it said with all his house. You know what that tells me about him? He tells me he led his house. I want to tell you something, men. God will honor you if you'll take the lead. Your family will follow you. You'll be the right example to your kids. Here was a devout man. He feared God with all his house, and he gave much alms. Now, you need to understand something about alms. Alms is not the Old Testament Jews' tithe to the temple. It was not the New Testament Christians' tithe to the church. Alms was giving often to help the poor, somebody in need, some friend, and giving of alms is not your tithe. You need to understand that. Now, the Pharisees stood in the open places of the market, and they wanted the reward from men and praise of man, so they gave their alms publicly. I've known a lot of folks that gave quietly and secretly, but God knew about it. And Cornelius was one of those that was giving alms, and it come up before the Lord. The Lord noticed what he was doing. And as I look at this thing, he prayed. He wasn't ashamed to pray. By the way, everybody prays. You say, that atheist don't pray. Yes, he does. You let the doctor come in and shake his head and tell him he's got 6 months. He'll start praying. Somebody says, there's no atheist in the foxhole. I agree with that. The truth of the matter is, man has within his heart, he knows there's a creator, he knows there's a supreme being, he knows, and whether he knows how to do it, Cornelius didn't know how to do it, but he knew he was up there, and he wanted to reach him, and he feared him, and he prayed. And men do pray. If I had time, I could tell you some interesting things about that. This man, Cornelius, was smart. He had social rank. He was devout. That means he was faithful. He was a giver. He gave his alms. He helped people. He had a good reputation. He feared God, but he was smart enough to know he still had a need. He still knew he wasn't saved. Still knew he'd come short. He was being honest with himself. And he was praying and asking God. And by the way, we have an example here where, listen, if a man wants to find God, God will find him. Bible says, unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required. And how many times have you been witness to? How many times have you heard about the Lord? God's going to hold you responsible for that. Because when a man wants to know of God, God will come to him and let him know. The Bible says the Spirit of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto what? All men. All men. That's what it says. And here we find, though he was smart enough to know he was coming short, he still had a need. Now, I look in the text here, and I see that God knew about him. You know, the truth is that man can ignore, or tries to ignore, but on the inside of man's soul, there's a longing to know God. He may try to deny it. He might try to snuff it out. He might try to get away from it, but it's there. You've heard on our radio station, not a great song, but it reminds me of a truth. I've heard on our radio station where some fellow's crying out in his song, and he's saying, street preacher, don't give up on me. You heard that one? You know what that is? That's a cry from a man's heart. I may be cussing at you. I may be swearing at you. I may say, go on and don't bother me, but in my heart, I'm saying, don't give up on me. I want to know God. Some years ago, church sent a van of soul-winning ladies into a bad street where the prostitutes walked. And several different nights, they'd get out and give them tracts and try to witness to the prostitutes, and the prostitutes would cuss at them, swear at them. But later on, one of those prostitutes got saved and stood up in church and gave this testimony. We would tell you to leave us alone. We don't hear that stuff. Get out of here. But she said, all the time in my heart, I was saying, please tell me. Please don't leave. That's the cry from the inside. That's what Cornelius had. Inside, he knew he was short. He knew he wanted to be right with God. He didn't know exactly how, but he was crying out. He was praying and reaching. And men today still try to ignore God, get away from God. But that longing is on the inside. There is no forgotten man with God. I look over in Isaiah. Let me just turn to it by myself for time's sake. Isaiah 49. Listen to verse 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child? Can a woman forget her suckling child? Then God answers the question down in the verse, and he says, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Man. Now I know, directed to Israel, but a principle to you and I. God don't overlook you. He knows about you. He hadn't forgotten you. I see in verse 4 here that what Cornelius done, it says it came up for a memorial before God. God remembered Cornelius. Cornelius was doing the best he could. He was living up to the light he had. He knew he wasn't there, but he was trying, and God didn't forget him. It came up as a memorial to God. And I see God's response here. He sent an angel. Now the angel come with a message, and the angel is often a messenger. He came with a message, and the message was, send somebody to get a preacher to come tell you what you need to know. Like it or not, God's plan is for a preacher to preach his word. I'd rather God had sent me an email. He's not, but he's going to send you somebody to preach the word to you. He might be behind a pulpit in a building like this, or it might be somebody knocking on your door. It might be a saved relative. It might be a friend on the job, but he's going to send somebody. And he told Cornelius by the angel. The angel said, send somebody to the next city over here to Joppa. Send over here to get Peter. So why didn't the angel tell him? God don't let angels do it. In fact, angels say they'd like to look into the gospel a little deeper because, you see, they've never been lost. They've never been depraved. They've never been on their way to hell like you and I have. And so God uses man, one of us, to tell the other and to share the good news that you can be saved. God's response here, sent an angel. Now, look what was going on, though. When the angel comes to Cornelius at this location, God is beginning to work on Peter to prepare him on the other end. Listen, it was about lunchtime. Peter was a big old guy, and he was hungry, and he was ready to eat, but God said, go up on the roof and pray. He goes up on the roof. Watch how all the things fit together. He goes up on the roof. He prays, and God tells him right now down at the gate. See, God was working both ends. God works both ends. He really does. And as we go through the story here, you pick it up in about verse 20. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. He told Peter, now listen, here's some strangers at the gate. He didn't know who they were. And Peter was a careful Jew. He'd already had this little discussion with God about not eating anything that was unclean. He knew the Jewish law. Sure he did. Sure he did. But God tells him, don't doubt. These men come. God was working both ends of this thing for it to happen. God had already shown Peter by the trance and the vision. He sent something down like a sheet with all corners held. And in the midst of the sheet was unclean animals. Animals and birds, I don't know what, but it was food listed in the book of Leviticus that a Jew was not supposed to eat. Now you and I, as he showed Peter here, by the grace of God, can eat anything that don't eat us spiritually. May not be the best for you. I hate to tell you folks, but shrimp was on the list and crabs. Anyway, mess with your lunch now, I'm just telling you. It was on the list. Now, under grace, you need it. You may die quicker, but you need it. All joking aside, Peter was being trained by the Lord. Peter said, the Lord said, kill and eat, Peter. He said, no, I wouldn't eat that. And God said, don't call unclean what I call clean. He wasn't talking about animals. He was talking about Jew and Gentile. Peter was a Jew. They kept their religion away from the Gentiles. And God was trying to show him this new grace of God, this gospel of Christ is for everybody, like the choir was singing a while ago. And Peter, you don't call a group of people out here unclean, you take the gospel to them. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone into that Roman's house. He wouldn't have gone to that Gentile, but God had prepared him on that end to make things work out to where Cornelius could get the gospel from Peter, the preacher. You know, think about it. Has God been working on your end? Think about it. So, I came today in spite of the rain. Maybe you came because God intended you to come. You might be sitting right here, but God may have started turning wheels way back down the line to make it possible for you to come and, like Cornelius, find out the answer. Find out where you're short, and what you need to hear, and what you need to do about what you hear. So, yes, God's been working on both ends. He might have started when you first heard a word as a kid about him. He might have come along with a friend that witnessed to you on the job, or a schoolmate in the classroom, or later on a neighbor. And you got a little bit here, and a little bit there, and a little bit, but it was all forming to bring you to a time like he brought Cornelius to say yes or no when he really heard the truth. No, I don't think you're here by accident today. I don't think you're listening on the radio out there by accident today. God's been working to move the whole universe, if necessary, to get the timing just right for you to be on the presence of the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, yes. Yes, I believe that. And to have the time just right. So you'd be here maybe right now. Now, Peter came to the house of Cornelius. And you can find what he said if you drop over to verse 34 in the same chapter. You'll find out exactly what Peter preached. It says he opened his mouth, verse 34, and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." He learned his lesson by the sheep coming down with the unclean animals. He'd come to an unclean Roman's house, a Gentile, but he learned the lesson here that God's no respecter of persons. Hear me good today. You can't hide behind saying others don't accept me. Don't matter about them. God has no respecter of persons. You're before him. He knows about you. He's brought you to a place to know about him. And the truth is here, Peter opens up saying to these Gentiles, God's no respecter of persons. He goes on down and tells them about Jesus. He says in verse 37, talking about the Lord, he said, "The word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." He goes way back to John the Baptist and brings him up on the story of Jesus. He tells how he went about doing good, how he healed. Then he says they slew him in verse 39 and hanged him on a tree. He's talking about the crucifixion. But then in verse 40, he says, him God raised up the third day. He tells about the resurrection and showed him openly. He goes on to say, in verse 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, Jesus, which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, the alive and the dead. Jesus is the judge. He's given the gospel to Cornelius. Now, you got to remember, it wasn't just Cornelius by himself. He had his house. He had his soldiers. He had his friends. He had his servants. Pretty good crowd that Peter's speaking to. And they're all giving him attention as he tells the gospel. And look what he says in verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness, Jesus. All through the Old Testament, the prophets told about him, told how he would come, told what he would do. 1,000 years before he was crucified, Psalms 22 told about that crucifixion. So all the prophets were witness through this name, his name, whosoever believeth in him should not receive, I'm get it right, believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What is he saying to Cornelius? He said, this name, he's the only way. He's the one paid the price for your sins. He's the ones the prophets gave a witness to. He's the only way to be right with God. And he tells him the gospel. Now, if you read this close, you'll find out while Peter was yet speaking, the Holy Spirit of God fell on this house of Gentiles. While Peter was yet speaking, Cornelius in his heart came to God. The people around him came to God. I want to say to you right where you're sitting right now that your heart can do a flip and you can come to Christ. Now we invite you to come down the aisle and let us pray with you and help you understand how you're right with God. But listen, you can change your mind right where you're sitting. Turn from whatever you're trusting or what you're don't know to what you do know, and that is that Jesus died for you, bled for you, paid the price for your sins, and will save you if you'll come to him. He'll give you the gift of eternal life. It's a gift because he paid the price himself. And your heart can flip right where you're sitting. You can say yes to the Lord. We invite you to come down the aisle, like the Bible says, and openly confess you believe on him. Like I did. I think my heart flipped in the pew before I ever got to the front. But when I got to the front, the pastor prayed with me. It was a wonderful thing to confess what I had already accepted in my heart. And that's exactly what he'll do for you if you'll come this morning. You see, Cornelius lived up to what he did know. The best he could know, he lived up to it. And God gave him more. God worked on both ends to get the message to Cornelius. And God's worked on both ends to get the message to you and to me. God worked on both ends. He sent a little girl that got saved at 13 years old, all the way from Michigan to Florida, to tell a redneck boy, the only place I'll go with you is to church.
Now, God was moving the whole universe to make all those cogs come together and fit. You're not here by accident. You're not forgotten. God's remembered Cornelius. He's remembered others. He remembers you. You're sitting right where he wants you to sit. You hear just exactly what he wants you to hear. Now, Cornelius responded correctly and came to the Lord. I pray you will. It can happen just that quick. You heard the singing this morning. There was two thieves crucified, one on one side of Christ and one on the other. At first, they both railed on Christ, mocked him. But then one of them rebuked the other one and turned to the Lord and said, Lord, rememberest thou me when thou comest into thy kingdom? He called him Lord. Remember. Did Jesus remember him? He said, yes, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Cornelius got remembered, come up as a memorial before God. The dying thief got remembered. He went to paradise with Jesus. God remembers you right now, and he's asking you to make a decision to come to him. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed, how many of you can say, preacher, I'm saved. I remember when I came to Christ. I think back. God worked on both ends for me, preacher. He brought a bunch of things into my life to cause me to recognize that he loved me and knew about me and gave me the message. And I know I'm saved today. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. If you can say that, would you lift up the hand? Would you do it all over the building? Thank you so many. I ask you to put them down, but there's some of you here today, you were honest enough you didn't lift your hand because you're not saved. You know if you died today, you would not go to heaven. Would you lift that hand right now that you care for your soul? And you're saying to me, preacher, when you pray, have me in mind. I couldn't call your name. I would not. But I will say, Lord, I'm praying for that soul that lifted that hand. Would you lift it right now? I care for my soul. In the balcony, in the back, right now, would you lift that hand? I care for my soul. Do you understand what I've tried to say to you? You're not here by accident. God has not overlooked you, not forgotten you. He remembers you and knows all about you. And he knows what he's done to make it possible for you to come here, preacher, plead for your soul and ask you to be saved. Maybe this morning you got up and if it hadn't have been raining, you'd have had to do something else. But since it was raining, you came to church. You say, why could that be? Well, God could be in that. He could be in that. Well, I was supposed to go out of town. I was supposed to take a trip, but here I am. God could be in that. Working both ends to get you to hear and have an opportunity. Your special moment. He gave Cornelius a special moment. He gave the thief on the cross a special moment to come to him. Is he giving you that special moment right now? I'm going to ask that we stand with our heads bowed. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we pray for that soul. Lord, you've moved the universe. You've turned it around, as it were, to get them where they're at right now. To get them to come to your house, to hear your word, just as you planned. And Lord, you'll bring them that far. They'll be without excuse when they stand before you if they reject you now. You've done everything, but Father, they still have a choice to make. And you say in the scripture, whosoever will may come. And Father, I pray they'd understand they're not here by accident. They're not forgotten. It's a moment that you've given them to come and receive Christ. And Lord, I pray for their soul right now that they'd say yes. That they'd say yes to you that died for them and shed your blood for them. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to step to the front. I'll meet you right here. If you'll leave that seat, and you'll meet me right here and you'll say, preacher, I'm coming to confess that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that I want